Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. Children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present, one's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing. Okay, the schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in the child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered Through Biblical Glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Hour number three. My goodness. Let me stop that and restart the recording there. There we go. Hour number three. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice of where you can listen each and every day. And I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. We've covered a lot of ground today. David Shostokas was with us as we opened things up in hour number one. We talked quite a bit about what the courts are doing, the election evidence that's been presented, the judge that's attempting to potentially quash some of the defense evidence that could be brought forward on behalf of President Trump, a variety of issues related to those, also Justice Alito's comments about the rights of the court and in what areas does Congress have a right to be able to oversee them, or do they oversee them? And so we got into a lot of things with that. I talked to you about family and about home life and about perilous times, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And how the destruction of the family has created perilous times. And then Claire Lopez and I got a lot covered this last half hour regarding the border, national security, NGOs, cartels, and Ukraine. So lots covered. I hope you'll take some time to go over. Just go to ChosenGenerationRadio.com. ChosenGenerationRadio.com. Click on the archive tab, show archives, and it'll give you the directions you need so you can listen to each one of the hours, or go to the listen page where you can pick it up and add it to your favorite podcast channel. All right, T. Rose Mandelberg, Newsbusters, CensorTrack.org is on the phone. Welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you, Pastor Greg. I'm always happy to be here.
Well, there's a lot of censoring that is going on. I was noticing it again as I was scrolling through, you know, Instagram and so on. They won't stop. Talk to me about the big stories that you're seeing where they're censoring and reducing people's exposure to what's going on.
Yeah, Pastor Greg, that is honestly, it's an epidemic of censorship. I know you've experienced it. I've experienced it. There's just, it's honestly crazy. We recently did our second quarter report for what we call secondhand censorship. And secondhand censorship is essentially where a candidate or an individual or maybe just like an organization where that entity is censored, and then therefore all of their followers are secondhand censorship as well. So essentially we found that from January 2022 to June 2023, just a few months ago, 882 million people or users or accounts were affected by censorship. So take, for example, Joe Rogan. If his podcast talking about vaccine hesitancy is censored, then his 73 million or however many followers he has, they are also censored because sure. They don't have access to that information. So that's like a new approach that we've been taking with our CensorTrack database to see, like, the fact is that when a person with, a following is censored, then all of the people who follow their content are also censored. And so it's kind of an interesting way to look at it. But, you know, it definitely goes to show that censorship is not something that can honestly just be looked over. It needs to be talked about, and the fact that it's happening biasly in favor of the left, who gets to say whatever and do whatever they want online, but in the second a conservative, you know, points out a differing opinion or simply says anything, they're censored. You know, people on Twitter, just because of their account has been censored a handful of times, everything that they post is now has a warning saying, oh, just letting you know,
right,
this person has been censored. So you don't, or they don't say censored. They just said this account has been flagged for potential danger or something like that. And then you have to confirm that you want to see the content. And it's like a puppy or something ridiculous. But because that person has been censored before, they've got this red flag warning on them.
It's really interesting. You know, I'm going to shift gears for a second. I've been following this story. You're familiar with the Daily Caller, right?
Yeah, of course.
And we would agree that the Daily Caller, generally speaking, you know, prints factual news stories, right?
Yeah.
So the Daily Caller has a news story. Obama once wrote to ex-girlfriend that he repeatedly fantasizes about making love to men, biographer says.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Now, the reason that I think that is a significant story is in light of some of the things that have come out about Obama, but from several other sources, but more significantly, that the Obama administration and now the Biden administration are heavily pushing the LGBTQ agenda on foreign nations like Africa, where they demand, like Venezuela, I mean, all over the place, where they demand that if you want funding to continue to come from the United States to assist your poor, then you're going to embrace the LGBTQ plus agenda.
Man.
And I don't see any news coverage regarding this.
No, you're not gonna, though, Pastor Greg. It's ridiculous. I wrote a piece, I think it's going to be out this morning, and talking about, well, first of all, I want to point out that I had to kind of dig for this story. Fox News posted it, along with maybe two other organizations that shared this story. But a family in Massachusetts, a Catholic couple, they were interested in fostering children. They couldn't have kids of their own, and they were banned from doing so. Their application was denied because the couple had said that they wouldn't affirm a child, a foster child, who had differentiation with their gender or sexuality or gender identity, things like that. So the Massachusetts fostering system said, okay, well, if you're not going to affirm a child's delusion, essentially, then we're not going to let you be foster parents. And my family's in foster care since I was six. So I was very passionately frustrated at this piece. The couple is suing Massachusetts fostering system because of this. But I'm thinking to myself, like what you were just saying, how, you know, they're pushing these LGBTQ ideas, you know, overseas. They're doing it here too, and especially here. And like you said, overseas too, but, what's really sad about this story is that, you know, these kids who come into foster care, they are looking for something to cling to, something to remind them that they're not alone, that, you know, they have advocates, that they're being rooted for, right? And I think to myself, if you push a delusion on these kids, you know, confirming or affirming an identity that is untrue, a lie, essentially, you're just pushing them down more of a mental health crisis. This couple, this Catholic couple, they would have been able to explain to kids that, you know, regardless of where they are in their fostering system, or where they are in life, or who they live with, they have a Heavenly Father to be there with them, and that's where their identity needs to lie, not in these woke, progressive lies that they're pushing here and overseas, like you were saying.
Yeah, well, it continues. I mean, they continue to be, you know, again pushing this agenda. There was something else that you had just said, and I was looking for an article that I'd had up earlier, the UN. There's a story out about the head of the of the UN Human Rights entity, that particular position, that is saying basically that if Christians don't embrace and support MAPS, which is minor attracted persons, then there's going to be consequences, and that these religions that don't embrace that basically pedophilia need to change their belief system.
Mm. Oh my gosh. It's really become this, like, this little religion, this religion of LGBTQs.
It really has. I mean, I think there's no doubt. I think there's no doubt that it has. And of course, you know, the conversation you and I are having, these are the kinds of conversations that get censored. These are the, I mean, there would be a square that would come up over the top of this video before, you know, when it's done, that would say something to the effect of either sensitive information or misleading information or however they're going to put it. But they would attack what we are saying in an effort to censor us from letting people know what's really going on here.
That's exactly right. And if they even allow you to have a voice, if they allow it to be out for a second, like that's one thing, right? Them allowing us to say something and let it go online for a little bit, right? These stories that are barely there, you know, not even covered by organizations. But like you were saying, once it is out, then they're like, oh crap, we made a mistake. Censor that person, censor that account, censor that post, because they don't want differing opinions. And that's exactly what the devil wants, right? He wants us to not think critically. He doesn't want us to look at the world and see its flaws. He wants us to accept everything of the world and have this me-first personality. But that's not what the Lord calls. And honestly, what, even if people aren't religious, what morals would encourage you to have, regardless of religion? So it's kind of upsetting, but that's exactly what the left is trying to do. They're trying to get us to not think critically and to not recognize these stories who, you know, with differing views or understanding their opinions, because it goes against the leftist mindset. And everybody, I talked about this in my most recent piece about my Woke of the Week episode, talking about how the left, sincerely, I think many of them are brainwashed. They're brainwashed into thinking these things because that's what they're fed through the media, through whether it's social media or the news or through Hollywood or wherever. They're fed these lies, and that's what the left wants to push. And if you, you know, recognize that they are lies, then you'll be censored. For example, this episode right now that we're talking right now, if they had the capabilities, they would for sure be censoring this, because they don't like us to talk about where their flaws are.
Well, let me I'm gonna play something really quick. This will just take a moment. And it speaks exactly to what we're talking about. Let me play this really quick. Wait a minute. There we go. All right, here we go.
No. Canada, that's okay. One?
Yeah.
Okay, so the question was, name three countries. So the first one, Canada, reasonable. Now watch this.
Arkansas?
Sure. Arkansas? Yep, yeah, one more.
Sure. I need help. I know.
Sure.
North Carolina?
North Carolina, yes, you got it right. Congrats. Okay, nice job. Now, can you tell me, how many dimes makes a dollar?
20.
20, final answer? What do you think? It's 20. No, you got it right. It's 20. Okay. Okay. Great. You're 2 for 2. All right. So when I tell you it's 2:15, what time is it?
4.
4 o'clock. Okay. Great. Okay. question, last question, because you got three right. Can you name three Kardashian sisters?
Chloe. Shut up. I got these. Chloe, Kim, Kendall. Yeah.
Do you see exactly what the fuck I'm talking about? Do you see what the agenda is? Are you woken up now? Do you get it? Can you name...
Sorry for the language, folks. But I mean, this is so atypical.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, what are three countries? Canada, okay. Arkansas and North Carolina, countries. How many dimes makes a dollar? 20.
40?
I mean, folks, this is... You know, you talked about the indoctrination. This is what's happening in our schools right now. This is what they're doing. And then we wonder, you know, why we have the issues that we have going on. You're in a younger generation, T. Rose. When you look around and you see some of this stuff going on, and I'm sure, you know, perhaps, you know, you don't have a lot of interaction with this particular situation, but maybe you do, and maybe you're seeing it. It's just, how does a nation survive when you know, as an example, people don't know what a country is, people don't know how many, you know, dimes in a dollar. Wow.
Yeah, Pastor Greg. You know, I live in Washington, D.C., so unfortunately, I do see a lot of this ignorance. But like you were saying, it starts with the kids. And that's, I think, one of the biggest threats right now to our nation. Because think about it, the kids are the easiest to indoctrinate. They're the most impressionable. And they're going to be the next generation that becomes members of society and leaders in society. And that's why all these leftists are starting with them. I wrote a piece yesterday. We're an LGBTQ group called the It Gets Better Project, awarded $10,000 to 70 different schools in the United States and a little bit of Canada to promote gender ideology, support gender sexuality alliance groups, and put on Pride Week celebrations because, you know, they thought, let's give the $10,000 to these schools so that they can do various things, whether it's creating, I know one school created a safe room where you could be as gay as you wanted in this safe room. But I'm thinking to myself, like, this is why we have this mass social contagion of ignorance in this country. Like this woman that you just played, she doesn't even know the dimes are in a dollar. She can't even name three countries. Like, the fact of the matter is, we have the left, I don't want to say we, because I'm not part of this, but the left has encouraged and facilitated schools specifically to stop teaching things that kids need to know, you know, math, writing, actual subjects, reading, and instead teach them about these lies and these delusions that aren't going to do anything except harm them. But, you know, think about it. If kids know how to think critically, then they're going to be like us, where we're sitting here saying, look at how biased this is, look at how delusional this is. But that's not what the left wants. They want them to be vulnerable and insecure and unsure of the truth, because then they're easier, and it's easier to manipulate them and teach them what they want, not what is needed for their success.
Well, absolutely, and I think it's all based on, you know, the issue of what feels good. It's all based on emotions, 100% based on emotions.
Yeah.
Not based on facts, not based on learning facts, but it's based on how you feel. I mean, it's like this idea of, I feel like a cat. I mean, I can't even believe that they actually have such a thing as, they call them furries.
Oh yeah.
That you have classrooms, ladies and gentlemen, where young people have a litter box in the classroom, and they actually use the litter box.
Oh my gosh. It seems like we are reading some sort of dystopian universe book or movie or watching a movie. It literally, I'm thinking to myself, how did it get to this point where we're not only accepting of behavior like that, but encouraging behavior like that? It's so shocking to me. And the fact, like, that girl that you had just showed, albeit that she would have completely been like, oh yeah, sure, whatever, that's fine, who cares, you can throw the bathroom in the litter box in your classroom, because they don't think like, they don't have this sort of critical thinking or even just regular thinking skills. It's crazy.
It really is. I mean, it, and you know, I don't want to, I want folks to understand that this is an indoctrination, and that the media, and that's what this segment is about identifying what the media is doing through, and social media, through censorship, but also through the stories that they will cover and the information that they will put out and the manipulating of that information that they will put forth. And that's, you know, I, as an example, you know, when you talk about the amount of coverage of President Trump versus the amount of coverage of Joe Biden, the Biden criminal activity, the Hunter Biden investigation, all of this information that's come forward, the letter now that they just uncovered that proves that Joe Biden wrote letters to Devin Archer giving him direct instructions as to how to handle certain business issues. They have a letter from Joe Biden, from the office of the vice president, to Devin, telling him, this is how I want you to manage and handle this particular business transaction. Where's the coverage?
We're not going to find it in liberal media.
No, not at all. Not at all. And so while I'm frustrated with the young lady as an example that was in the video, I don't blame her for having been indoctrinated in a system since she was probably 4 years old that has trained her. And all they've given her is the names of the Kardashian sisters, but they haven't taught her about geography. They haven't taught her math. They haven't taught her science. They haven't taught her any of the things she's going to need to actually have any chance at succeeding in life. We got to take our break. T-Rose, thank you. I appreciate what you guys do. Newsbusters is putting media on blast and saying, hey, we see what you're doing, we're watching you, and change what you're doing, because what you're doing is wrong. It's just flat wrong. Newsbusters, censortrack.org. T-Rose, thank you. Thanks to all of the Media Research Center family for all that y'all do. I'll talk to y'all next week.
Thanks, Pastor Greg.
We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio. The JFK assassination, the manipulation of a CIA agent, and how does that tie in to what we're seeing today? We'll be back to talk about all of that and more coming up right here on Chosen Generation Radio.
So up next, we have Clanslight. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. Clanslight is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is, if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution, or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Children Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And I'm looking here, and for some reason, it does not appear that I sent a Zoom link, which I had put together and thought that I had sent, but it is not showing up. So, my sincere apologies. This is Sunday. Okay. Well, that would be the reason why. Because it was Sunday. Yep. Okay. So, I set it up, but I apparently did not send out the link. So I have sent it out now, and if she's able to see it, if she gets it, then I'm sure she will join us. Otherwise, there's a possibility that she may not be joining us today. And Oh, I know where else I sent it. I believe. Let me look. Yep. Let's see. No. That is really, really odd. I don't know what time I would have sent that link at. Okay. Well, it's been sent, but again, it may be too late. It may be too late. Let's see. And I was sending a message out, putting the blog up so that you guys could get the information with regards to the criminal charges that were sent to Jim Jordan and the House Judiciary in order to help them to bring justice to those that committed the election fraud and some of the criminal acts that were created. So I'm gonna get that out to you. Oh, bless her heart. She is in the process of joining us, and I feel terrible. I created that Zoom link, and I did not apparently send it as I thought that I had. Vivian, are you with me?
I'm working on it. Okay, yeah, here I am.
Hi. I am so sorry. I apologize profusely. I created this Zoom link several days ago, and I was sure that I had sent it, and then I went to go resend it, because, you know, I know that we get bombarded with lots of emails, so I went to go resend it just now and realized that it looks like I never sent it to you, so my sincerest apologies.
Oh, that's okay. I'm just trying to figure this out.
Well, I see you and I hear you.
Okay, that's all that really matters, I suppose.
Yes, ma'am.
So how are you doing today?
I'm good. So, I was born in April of 1962, and so President Kennedy was assassinated in November of 1963. So I was a year and 7 months approximately when this happened. Obviously, I'm not going to have a memory of it. However, I have always been, as I think a lot of people have, kind of wondered, you know, what do you think? Now, I was a Cold War Russian linguist, and one of the people who gave a lot of information was a guy named General Pacheco. And he talked about that there was, now he said, I can't confirm that he ordered it, but I can say that the head of Russia at the time was furious with Kennedy and wanted him killed. Now, obviously, if he had ordered it and it had come out and they figured out that he's the one that did it, we would have had World War III.
Exactly. I've heard for years that Russia was involved, that they ordered the hit, that the mob ordered the hit. The reality of it is this. Like you said, if Russia had ordered the president killed, obviously we'd be in World War III still, 60 years later.
Yep.
Oh, that hurts my soul. 60 years later, we'd still be in World War III. I don't think that Russia had anything to do with it. I don't think that the mob had some connections to it, but only because people in our government had connections with the mob, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
There are two people at the top of my hit list of who I think were involved. And both of them would have had the connections and power to this day still not be releasing information about what happened and to cover it up. My personal opinion is the assassination of President Kennedy was the beginning of the downfall of our American government. So, when you look at all of the things that have been covered up over the last 60 years in our government that we don't know about or that we shouldn't know about, only certain people have that kind of power.
Sure. Sure. Well, we're
Johnson
and,
was,
yeah. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Johnson was reported that the night before to have said that after the 22nd, he wouldn't have to deal with that bastard Irish mafia any longer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that tells me he knew what was going on ahead of time.
It you know, I live in Texas now, but I've you know, followed and paid attention to Johnson for a lot of years. Lyndon Johnson was a criminal.
He was
a mobster. There's no question in my mind that he was. And so, you know, him being there, it's interesting, you know, as I think about it, I had a guest on a few weeks ago. We were talking about, the Obama presidency and then we were talking about, you know, who he selected, why Joe Biden ended up being the vice president for Barack Obama. Cause Biden has been a State Department guy forever. Running all mm-hmm. kinds of activities, and we're finding out, you know, I mean, it's coming forward, but people have known that he was doing illegal stuff at the State Department for a long period of time, but he was pegged to be the State Department guy for Obama. And Obama was supposed to select Hillary Clinton as his vice president. Michelle
Correct.
Went to Obama and said, "You cannot make Hillary Clinton your vice president. She'll kill you."
Yeah, she would have.
She will have you assassinated. Yeah. And so that was the reason that flip took place.
Yeah, that, I mean, and I said the same thing at the time.
Well,
there was some question about her becoming Joe Biden's vice president back in 2020 when all this was going on, or 2018, I guess.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Okay. So
he's been dead.
Yeah.
In 3 days.
So two things I'm going to say right now, just to get, cause again, I obviously, you know, you're digging into a lot of this stuff. Remember when Ford had two attempted assassinations on him?
Yeah, I was young, but I do remember it.
You know who his vice president was, right?
God. Ford had... Hold on, I'm trying to remember. Good Lord. I was in junior high. I'm trying to think. I just remember Carter being the next president.
Nelson Rockefeller.
That's right, because he was the next in chain of command. I knew the chain of command. I couldn't remember who was.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting that there were two assassination attempts on Gerald Ford with a Rockefeller sitting as the vice president?
Well, that is interesting. But now, if you think about it, because Johnson never liked Jack at all.
Yeah.
He absolutely hated him. And the only reason he was picked to be vice president was because they needed him to carry the South. Because they were afraid that a Catholic Bostonian was not going to be able to win the South. So they put Johnson in there. And Johnson had set off all along that it was a stepping stone. He was going to be the next president. And come hook or crook, he did it.
Yeah, yes, he did. Well, you know, the other one I think about is you know, H.W. Bush did not like Reagan. And he's a former CIA director. And he nearly had, and you could make an argument that he nearly got Reagan assassinated. Almost.
Yeah, he did.
Almost.
Yeah. Almost, but not quite.
Almost pulled it off.
Yep. I mean, when you look at these things and people don't wake up and pay attention. Growing up, and I started researching this, my fifth grade teacher, Mr. Cochran, was the first one that I had ever heard say anything about the assassination and about don't believe what the government is telling you, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the first one that ever got me interested in looking into it. And my kids will tell you I've been obsessed since then. It really becomes, matter of fact, when Ken approached me, I was like, oh, Lord, this means I'm going to start looking into it. And then I'm going to get obsessed. I don't sleep. I don't work. I've written college papers on it. And when I was in college, I was working as a server in a restaurant. And I would take my books with me. I have a library of Kennedy stuff. And I would take my books with me to work so that any free second I had, I could work on it and delve into it. And a customer would come in and be like, oh, God, dang it, I don't need to deal with these people. I got work to do. I mean, it's an obsession. So
yeah.
Now I work 40 hours a week, and I work five to two. So now it's like I got to be real careful because I won't sleep.
Right.
And what I do now, I can't take my stuff to work with me to do it. So
yeah.
This whole working thing is getting in my way.
I'm telling you.
I would be glad to retire and be able to work on it more.
You mentioned something, and I want to go back to that, Vivian. We probably got about 8 minutes left or so before.
We can push into Sandra's show.
Well, I was just going to say. It's like, hey, you know what, Sandra, you're just going to have to wait. Your mom said we're doing something different today.
You'll be all right.
There you go. But you mentioned that this really changed the course of a nation. Now, I'm, you know, John Kennedy, I don't know what kind of president he ultimately would have been. Certainly, he was more of an old school Democrat, maybe a blue dog type Democrat. So that would have been kind of an interesting thing to think about. But is it because of the course that he would have had on as a president, or is it because of what it meant that somebody inside the government was able to get away with killing the president of the United States?
Inadvertently, I guess it's both, but more so because they were able to get away with it. If you think about it, in the last, I guess what, 8-10 years now, they've been releasing critical information on the assassination. right?
Yep.
None of that has mounted to a hill of beans.
Exactly.
None of it was anything that we didn't already know.
Yep.
And anything that was released that anything that has been released that had any important information, the information was blacked out. So, I mean, basically any of that information has been useless. When they first started releasing it, my son and I had planned on going up to D.C. because it's in the library up there, Library of Congress up there.
Okay.
And we were going to go up and start pouring through the papers. But when we started seeing some of the stuff that was being released, my son was like, this is kind of, you know.
What's the point?
What's the point?
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of any real pertinent information. And to be honest with you, it took them, that was in 93.
Yeah.
92, 93, something like that, when they released the Warren Commission.
Right.
So that took them, what, 30 20 years to do that?
Yeah.
And that's the biggest book of fiction ever written. Ever.
All right. Well, okay. So let's pause at that point so that I can, because that's a great jumping off for the question I have for you. Oliver Stone believed. Oh, he thought that he was the supreme expert on JFK and the assassination. Your take.
I think he brought out a lot of good information.
Okay.
A lot of information to get people thinking. I think the movie JFK is excellent. It's a great source for people to be able to see the stupidity in a lot of things that they may not have realized ahead of time. My oldest two kids, Sandra and James, have always been interested in the Kennedy assassination. My youngest two girls, I took them to Dealey Plaza in January this year when I was in Texas. And they finally realized, wait a minute, maybe mom's not crazy. Because growing up, they just thought mom was crazy.
Well, but your kids also grew up, I mean, you know, as have mine, you know, that I've had to, you know, really monitor that in a school system that indoctrinates the kids to believe their parents are crazy, whether they're chasing JFK assassination leads or anything else.
Well, no, because I homeschooled three of my kids.
Okay.
For quite a while. I didn't start... the youngest one never was homeschooled. And Eileen started back to public school in the third or fourth grade, and we monitored what they were being taught. Between me and their older two siblings, we kept a close eye on what was going on in the schools. But they're not teaching kids to think for themselves.
Nope.
You are right about that.
Yep.
And that's very worrisome.
Yeah.
I heard you talking earlier about the indoctrination and acceptance and this, that, and the other thing in the schools. When my youngest daughter moved to Burleson, she was in junior high. And we really had to struggle to keep her focused on what
truth
is and isn't.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
okay,
what's real. Yeah.
Because it seemed like half her school was part of the alphabet system.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
They were either gay, they were bi, they were homosexual, they were trans, they were this, they were that. I didn't even know what trans was until I was in my 50s.
Yeah.
Back to Kennedy.
Yeah. Well,
when
I was...
they release anything, if it was that earth-shattering, quite honestly, there'd be more books about. You know, they'd have a book of released information, if you will.
So what's the significance of the Ruben Efron release and what has been revealed regarding him and his relationship with Lee Harvey Oswald?
Okay, so when Ken first messaged me about it, I had to look into it because I was like, I ain't never heard of this guy. Let's see what we got. This is what I found out. This is when I Google searched him, and I went back and I looked in my CIA Oswald book, which is a really good book. He was never mentioned in the book. Like, he was just, his name was just released.
Okay.
But they said that in the CIA book written by John Newman, the CIA pretty much said any mail that they had read was not of any importance to the assassination. them releasing this guy's name is absolutely pointless. It made absolutely no difference to anything. It gave no real shining information on it. What did come to light, however, and this is, it cracked me up, and is more pertinent to today than his role in the assassination.
Right.
Is he and I think it was a colonel or a general, somebody, and a congressman were traveling through the Middle East, I want to say. It may have been Europe.
Uh-huh.
And spotted a UFO. That is what came up when I Googled this man. That the government, and I sent a link to it to Ken, that was what came up, is that he and these other two men were on a train and spotted a UFO.
Well, there you go.
And I was like, And what did Biden just release, what, a week or so ago, 2 weeks ago? About the UFO, or about aliens being real? And I was like, really? And this is the name he released?
Yeah.
You gotta wonder.
Well, yeah. Yeah, all about distractions. I had a conversation about that yesterday on the program with a host of a local program in Texas, and we were a friend of mine. We were talking about that. You know, look, do I believe that there are, that demons have physical bodies? I know they do,
right?
Because I've seen them, so I know they do. They're not just spirits. And do I believe that they could be somewhere else? Well, they've got to be somewhere. They got to be somewhere. And if you're going to try, if you're the Antichrist and you need to explain away rapture, and you need to try to create some kind of a storyline, you know, to follow that. Well, it would be convenient to make it, you know, well, aliens snatched, you know, a billion five people or whatever it's going to be around the world. You know, I mean, all at one time, boy, those aliens, you know, they're pretty slick the way they did that. I mean, that becomes, you know, a narrative. And going back to what you just, you know, we said earlier, I know we're way off from JFK, but it's not, because again, JFK, what we're talking about is how people become indoctrinated. It's all about mind control. It's all about mind control. And you know, if JFK is, as you're suggesting it, what I'm taking from it, one of the biggest, I don't want to say hoax because he died, it really happened, but hoax in the sense of what people were led to believe or accept as truth.
Right.
It truly is. It's one of the big we pulled the wool over the eyes of the American people, and people are still questioning it. I mean, that's what makes it so interesting, is the fact that here we are 60 years later and people are still saying, you know what, it just doesn't add up. Stories just don't add up.
Exactly. When I first started looking into it, and actually, like I said, I was in fifth grade, and we were stationed in London. My dad was stationed in London when I was born. And he actually was working. He was a CT and actually was working when Kennedy was killed.
Okay.
And I always felt like he may have known something.
Mm.
And anytime I would ask Daddy, I'd say, Daddy, what is your take on this? And his answer was always the same. My government says Oswald did it, so Oswald did it. And that's all my dad would ever say till the day he died. Wow. And I always had high hopes, and then he'd kind of chuckle. And I always had high hopes that maybe after he died, I'd find a letter or an envelope, something yeah. with information. Never did. Trust me, I looked. my middle daughter, Eileen, said one time, she said, Mama, if Granddaddy would have left you a letter, you would have opened it and it would have said, my government said Oswald did it, and that's what happened. Ha, ha, ha. I said, you know, if that old man had thought about it, he probably would have.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the stuff that people, because, I mean, I am very much pro-American.
Sure.
And pro-government and pro, not this government.
Well, pro we the people, constitutional right. republic government,
exactly.
not the tyrants that we have in place with a fifth arm as an administrative state that has literally about sucked up all of our freedoms.
Yeah. I mean, you were talking earlier today on the show about how they pick and choose what information can be used against, you know, by Trump to defend himself or any of these other.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
going, that's going against their constitutional rights.
Yep.
They have the right to defend themselves. The guilt, it's, you're innocent until proven guilty, not guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah.
You don't have to prove your innocence. They have to prove your guilt. But anymore, it's becoming a case of you can't even defend yourself.
Well, and I think that
and
what
it
the...
It all yeah. started in Dealey Plaza 60 years ago.
Yeah. And I think that the scary part of the whole Kennedy assassination is the fact that they were all that the mechanisms were already in place to create this massive masquerade to manipulate the population. And you know, it's interesting, and I say this, I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but McCarthy, see, to me, McCarthy was a hero. McCarthy figured this stuff out. When Skousen presented to him what he had learned as an FBI agent, and of course he got thrown, this is interesting, he gets thrown out of the FBI for having exposed what the communists were planning to do. Thrown out because he exposed it. Goes to McCarthy and says, this is what they're going to do. McCarthy says, I'm going to hold some hearings, we're going to find out. And he starts getting people. Well, obviously the communists are going to put some people up and try to frame some people to make McCarthy look bad. But ultimately, McCarthy was absolutely right. And if anything, the Kennedy assassination proves that McCarthy was outing the right people.
Right. And when you look at the cover-up, and look at who had the power to do what. I want to say his name was John Hill. Jackie O's bodyguard, CIA agent, whatever.
Right.
Secret serviceman. They were told to, normally in a situation like that, they would have been on the president's car, walking around it, whatever, have you. And instead, they were told to stand down. They were told to be on the car behind him. Who had the power to make that call? That is so far out of what should have been done, had ever been done, and has ever been done since then. But this one particular day, that just doesn't make sense.
Right.
I made the comment that the Warren Commission is the biggest fact of fiction ever to be written. When they were interviewing Jackie Kennedy, and she, you know, they said, why were you trying to escape out of the back of the car? And she said that she was not trying to escape. She was trying to get the back of Jack's head. And they said, Mrs. Kennedy, you are mistaken. Now, I will put this out there, okay?
What?
My ex-husband and I had some rocky grounds, and to this day, he's my ex, and we'll let bygones be bygones, but if his head was blown off in front of me, and I was I think I would know what I was doing, climbing to retrieve his head.
Yeah.
But the Warren Commission literally picked and chose and told people what they could and could not say.
Right.
And people that spoke out against that surprisingly ended up dead, whether it be suicide, accidental brakes, power outages, whatever.
Weird stuff.
Heart attacks.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
Yep.
There's just too many things. And then you go fast forward 40 years, Clintons are doing the same thing. So like you said, had Obama taken Hillary as his running mate, or if Joe had taken Hillary as his running mate,
yeah,
they'd have both ended up dead. Quick,
yep.
Passed in a hurry. No questions asked.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's, I think there's absolutely no doubt that that would have been the case. No doubt at all. And if they could have figured out how Bill could have held on for a third term, I mean, they that's practically what they were doing by having Hillary run. They were just looking for a third and fourth term, you know, 16 years of Clinton's. They would have had such a lock on this country that it would have been near impossible to break it, I think.
Yeah, and you're right. And when you look at delving into what government can cover up and what they choose to cover up, and I just lost his name off the top of my head. Epstein.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
This man had an island that he took people to for illicit goings-ons. They refused to release his logbook and who was with him on that island. And he was willing to come clean about it and start naming names, and that's why he was taken out.
Yep.
The people that they're hiding, let's face it, there's a lot of people in Congress and in the Senate that are on that list, because otherwise they'd be going, let's get it out there.
Yep. Yep.
But they ain't going to release that information because they'd be guilty as hell.
Well, at the end of the day, yeah. At the end of the day, Vivian, and we'll close with this, and then we'll let Sandra bring her program on. But I think at the end of the day, what we know is that we have right now tyrants that are running our country. We have a rogue entity that has taken over. We watched how they acted and how they operated when President Trump tried to be the president of the United States, and it's going to take a major, major house cleaning, a Loy Brunson type house cleaning, truly 470 some odd individuals. It's going to take, you know, nearly a total changeover in both the House and the Senate, and a complete stripping of all powers of the administrative state, in order for us to be able to get back control of this country. And I believe that it can happen, but it, oh, okay, let me think, okay. But I really believe that at the end of the day, the bottom line here is that we have to recognize what these individuals are doing, and we the people are the only ones that can fix this. And I also believe that the only way that that's going to happen, Vivian, is if God is put back on the throne.
I agree. Well, he's still on the throne, but America...
On America's throne. He needs to be put back on America's throne.
And that's one of the things, and you can say whatever you want about Trump. You know, he did this, he did that. Okay, he did. He's human. He's not God. But ultimately, he put God back in America. And they didn't like it. The devil didn't like it. Democrats didn't like it. And that's one of the reasons why they were pushing to get him out of there. You know, he wasn't perfect. He's not perfect. No person is perfect. But as a president, we were a whole lot better off. And he was at least attempting to put God first in this country.
Well, he had a personal, I believe wholeheartedly, and I've talked to Paula White about this, and I've talked to Jansky about this, and I've talked with Meadows about, I've talked with several people about this. He had a personal revival between September and November before he took office. He told David Brody in one of the first interviews, and I talked to David about this as well, that he realized that he could not govern the United States of America properly without God's help. And what the Holy Spirit showed me was, is it was the prayers of his mother, Mary, that brought him back to faith. Along with, of all people, Ivanka's conversion to traditional Judaism. And he saw what she was instilling in his grandkids. And that also caused him, and I talked with one of the rabbis that was a part of all that, and they said that was part of what motivated him to re-embrace his own personal faith. And he really did, and you could see it.
And, you know, it's funny because you sit here and you listen to people who judge him on things that he did prior to that. Mm-hmm. And I sit there and I think to myself, you know what? God can change people.
Yes,
that,
ma'am.
That's the whole purpose of our faith.
Yep.
Is God changes you.
Yep.
And once he's changed you, once he has
got a hold of you,
slate clean.
Yep.
Who are you to go back and keep? You're the devil throwing it back in his face every time you turn around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, yep. Well, he's had this many divorces, or he's done this, or he's done that. I'm trying to remember up until, and I haven't checked into the recent presidents.
Yeah.
But up until George Sr., I think, was the last time I checked into it.
Yeah.
Because then it was Clinton, and everybody knows about that. there was only like three or four presidents that didn't have affairs in the White House.
Oh, and speaking of JFK, I mean, JFK was, well, I'll tell you, I had a friend of mine that used to play cards with Secret Service when they would come to a particular area where Kennedy was having rendezvous with women in the hotel. And he had him in the White House, and Secret Service was downstairs playing cards while he was fooling around upstairs.
I mean, he almost left him over it.
Yeah, it was very, very well known.
That was never a well hid secret ever.
Yeah,
I don't think he ever even attempted to keep it a secret.
Yeah, it was very well known, which is why I'm not, you know, that's why it's because on the one hand, here he is a quote unquote social conservative, yet his lifestyle was so out of control when it came to some of this stuff that. I don't know where we might have gone the same direction that we've gone with, you know, with the Clinton influence, right, for the last 30 years.
Well,
I mean, Clinton modeled himself after JFK. Bill Clinton wanted to be JFK.
In some senses he did, but he wasn't how do I want to put this? His lifestyle, he wanted to be like JFK. His politics, not so much, I don't think.
Okay.
Because if you think about it, when the Bay of Pigs happened, okay?
Yeah.
He stood up and said, I take full responsibility for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most any other president in the history of presidencies would have passed the buck and blamed everybody else. And if you think about it, when Bill Clinton got caught with Monica Lewinsky, he denied, didn't take any responsibility ever. You know, and that wasn't anywhere near the catastrophe of the Bay of Pigs.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? So, I mean, and morals isn't the right word, and ethics isn't. I'm not sure what the right word is.
Integrity?
Integrity, thank you. There's the word we're looking for.
Integrity.
Integrity.
Yeah.
Jack had integrity. May not have had good morals, but he had integrity.
Right. And Bill has no integrity.
Absolutely none. One of the I had to laugh when I was reading several years ago. Of course, presidents don't carry any money with them, or credit cards, or whatever.
Sure.
So, when the Secret Service would be when they'd go to mass, they'd have to carry extra money so they could give it to the president to put into the plate.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
they
my. Right.
They don't carry it.
Right, right. Oh, you know? What a hoot. Well, I'll tell you a story, real quick story about Bill Clinton. So I have a friend of mine lives in Virginia Beach. He was a pastor there, and I would go there, and he would have me come and preach for him sometimes, years and years and years ago. It's life something. I'll have to look it up. Pat Crowder was the guy's name, and he founded the church. But he's been gone from there for probably, gosh, 20 years, I would say, something along that line. A long time. So this was back in the late 90s, late 90s, early 2000s. And his daughter ended up going to University of Tennessee. She got a scholarship and went to University of Tennessee. And, of course, that's, you know, Al Gore's alma mater, right? So she was in a class, I don't know if it was a public speaking or government or something along that line. At any rate, she was one of the top students, and they got invited to a little luncheon thing by the administrative staff, and they go into the room, and there's Al Gore sitting at the table. And so, you know, she has lunch with Al Gore, and he talks and what have you. And she told her dad, she said, "Dad, it was," she said, "I could hardly eat. It was just ooey. It was just yucky. So they eat, they took a break, they went away, and then they were invited to come back later that afternoon. And now on the speaker phone is Bill Clinton. And so they're sitting around, and she said, "Dad," she said, "Bill Clinton basically schmoozed you, and he would tell you he was going to lie to you. He would be like, you know, I'm not going to, you know, I'm kind of going to stretch the truth here a little bit." But it was more of an aw shucks kind of a thing. With Al Gore, he would straight lie to you. And then try to make you think he was telling you the truth, and he knew he was lying, and you knew he was lying, and it was just right. Yucky. With Bill Clinton, it was more schmoozy, and she said, you knew, you walked away from it, you didn't believe what he told you, but you almost walked away from it feeling sorry for him, and you kind of sort of still liked the guy. What she said was
very charismatic.
Yeah, what she said was just really weird. Al Gore, you didn't like. You did not like him. He was he was ooey. But Bill Clinton was a whole different ballgame. And I always have thought that was kind of, you know, an interesting when you think about, you know, what Bill Clinton has done. And how he's been able to get away with what he's gotten away with.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you know, when you look at the Clintons, I can't stand Hillary. I absolutely, positively cannot stand her. But I have to agree with the girl. There's just something about Bill that you just have to like. I mean, I can't stand him.
Yeah.
But there's just something about him, you know? The whole Monica Lewinsky thing.
Yeah.
My dad used to laugh at me because I was like, this girl had absolutely no remorse. She absolutely... why would you keep a dress that had the president's, I'm trying to think of a proper word to use.
Bodily fluids.
There we go. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
On it. Unless you plan on using it for DNA later on down the road to sell that. So I'm still waiting for that thing to go up for auction. We'll be honest about it. But if you ever notice, she'd be walking by like this until there was a camera, and then she was like this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
She had no shame whatsoever. But he was taking the fall for it, and he should have.
Yeah.
But it wasn't even the fact that he had an affair in the White House. Like I said, there's only 3 or 4 presidents that haven't done it. It's the matter of you lied to me about it.
Yeah.
Come out and say you did it.
Well, especially when you're caught. Yeah. Especially when you're caught.
Don't lie to me about it.
Yeah.
You know, and he just kept lying, and I'm like, dude, shut up. Admit it. You've done been caught. We got DNA proof.
Yeah. My issue, I think that what Bill Clinton did is Bill Clinton opened up the gateway for the destruction of American morality. That's my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
I understand that, well, you know, yeah, that I'm Kennedy, that, but... I understand that Kennedy was fooling around and, you know, and several others had, you know, mistresses and what have you. But it was done in such a way that it wasn't put right out in the middle of America's face.
Exactly.
And their public demeanor was one of decorum and one of you know, proper behavior. You know, I mean, I remember even with Nixon, you know, because we, my, I always grew up, you know, my family always voted Republican. And I remember as a kid that I went to a Presbyterian church. And so that meant that I went to the same church that the president did, because he went to a Presbyterian church. You identified with the president predicated on those kinds of markers publicly, not, you know, that he was having orgies in the White House and sleeping with interns and basically denigrating the office of the president.
Exactly. I mean, Jack, like I said, he was a notorious womanizer. Everybody knew it. But he carried himself well. He put family first. Maybe not so much Jackie, but family first. Mm-hmm. But I think even to an extent, he did have a lot of love for Jackie. I think
he did. He had a fondness for her, and they had some very powerful, touching, and moving moments in public that again people were able to reference to.
Exactly. And you didn't have that with the Clintons.
No.
Now, you did, I think up until Joe Biden took office, I think the worst president on record was Carter. However, as a human being, Carter is amazing.
Right.
President Carter, his heart was too big to be president.
Yeah.
Was the bottom line. His foreign policy was absolutely horrible. But his family and God were first.
Yes. I believe that. I think that he, you know, again, talking about Blue Dog Democrats, you know, that was more his shtick. Was more along that line. Although as he's gotten older, he's embraced the party line and gone along with, you know, what the Democrat Party stands for, which is unfortunate.
I can't say one way or the other, because I really haven't heard him say a whole lot about politics since he left office, a whole lot, or in the recent years anyway. But the Democratic Party, changed after Kennedy left office, or was assassinated after he was murdered. I hate the term assassination. He was murdered. Let's just call it what it is. But when Johnson took office, the Democratic Party just completely changed. It all became about power and how much power they could grab and how much power they could wield, how much they could wool they could pull over the American public. It's not the same Democratic Party that our dads had. Now, my dad was a registered Democrat. Mom said he's never voted Democrat. Mama said he never voted Democrat, but he was a registered Democrat. But I think it was because he agreed with some of the things that they believed in, which is not necessarily socialism, but helping people mm-hmm. when you can. But Kennedy said, ask not what you can do for, or not ask not what your government can do for you, but what you can do for your government.
Mm-hmm. Country, yeah.
Or country, yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas today's Democratic Party is, ask not what you can do for your country, but what your country can do for you.
Well, today's
it's the total opposite of what Kennedy said.
Today's Democratic Party has abandoned any kind of moral value at all whatsoever.
Exactly. Period.
And they are promoting just complete and total perversion and deviance, and it's really bad. It's really bad.
Yeah. It really is.
I need to let you go. I thank you for being with me. This has been a fun conversation. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well, thank you for having me on. I do appreciate it. I was caught off guard when they asked me. I was like, well, I don't know what I can add to this, but okay.
Hey, no, it was fun. It was fun.
Talk about Kennedy.
Yep. No, it was fun. Now, do you have any of your stuff online anywhere?
I don't.
Okay.
Or at least I don't think I do. I've written like 5 different college papers, and my last computer, I had to go out and buy a computer for today. But I have to figure out where my thumb drive is so I can reload it.
I gotcha.
I've got papers, but I do everything. I have backup stuff. I write everything out before I type it out. So,
well, keep us posted on that. And when you get it, I mean, even if you want, you can send something to me and I'll be happy to, I'll be happy to put it up on my site. We can post it for you.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having me on.
You betcha. Take care, Vivian. All right. You too. God bless. All right. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye.
All right, folks, we're clear for the day. We'll be back tomorrow, Thursday. Don't forget, tomorrow is our India service. We'll have that coming up for you tomorrow, and encourage you to stay tuned for more. Lots more coming up. God bless. Take care. Bye-bye.